B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Checkpoint Daily, one of your number one resources for the world of gaming and esports. I am your host, Norris Howard, and boy, we got hit with a bunch of stuff literally this morning. I woke up and was like, oh, yeah, it's so nice that we had the show like almost halfway done.
Today's the kind of day that, like, this is why we wanted to do this show daily, is for when stuff like this happens, because think about this. If in the olden days, right, mm-hmm. the next time we'd have a chance to talk about this would be on AFK on Friday. It's Tuesday right now.
Ridiculous.
Back in my day.
Exactly, because radio show got recorded yesterday, and then AFK would be next.
Crazy.
That's yeah. true.
Anyway, so who you heard right there is Callie Scales.
Yo.
What's up?
Doing good. Doing good.
Doing good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously crazy news, and if you're a Cyberpunk fan, not a great day
not
for you.
Not a great day. Not a great day.
But yeah, you know, hanging yeah. in there. Excited to be here.
Chat, what's going on?
I'm sad. I just broke my pop socket.
Oh.
Like just right like now?
Just right now. Look at it. It's like talking to me.
It's not even broke. Shut up.
It's broken. Oh,
no, that's phase one of broken.
That's phase one of yeah. broken.
Pop sockets are stupid.
One. They're so cute.
See, Norris, like, I'm so conflicted on the pop socket, right?
Yeah.
Because when I have it, I'm always like, yes, I don't drop my phone on my face anymore. This is nice. And then as soon as I take it off, I'm like, oh, it's so much nicer to hold my phone without
no,
it.
No, this is my first pop socket, and I'm like, I cannot go back.
I don't like it.
I'll tell you what. You say you can't go back, but you'll take that one off because it's broken, and you'll be like, oh, this is nice.
Yep.
We'll see. I'm so like...
It's dumb.
I like the idea of a nice aesthetic. Don't
no,
get me wrong.
It makes you look like a fifth grader is
I
what it
am
makes
a
you
fifth
look
grader.
Like. Anyway, we got some stuff to talk about. So here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right. So I don't think there's any sense in dancing around it. First and foremost, we got to talk about it. News just late breaking. Cyberpunk.
Oh, God.
Delayed. Again.
Okay, so before we get into how we feel about this, I wanna just read some excerpts from the statement that they put out, Adam Badowski and Marcin Iwinski from CD Projekt Red, the directors. They put out a statement saying, you know, the new release date is now December 10th. December 10th, so post-launch.
So that's a 21-day release, or
yep.
delay.
Yep, 21-day delay. Obviously, they said, please accept our apologies and all that good stuff. Here's what they said is the reasoning for the delay. The biggest challenge for us right now, shipping the game on current gen, next gen, and PC at the same time, which requires us to prepare and test 9 versions of the game all at once while working from home. So, first of all, and the last thing they said is this is a time where many improvements are being made, which will then be distributed via a day zero patch, which we already anticipated.
Of course. Every game does that.
Here's what I said. Number one, nobody asked you to do that. Nobody asked you to put it out on next gen and current gen at the same time. Literally, no one asked you to do that.
No, that was, I mean, that'd be, I think they say it in that quote, like, it feels like it became the expectation over time because you let it become the expectation over time.
No, you did, the developers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They let it become the expectation.
Nobody asked for it. If this would have came out PC and current gen, all right, just off the rip, and they said the next gen comes out in the spring, Q2 2021, after we have had, you know, 5 months or five-ish months of, you know, players getting it in their hands. What are the issues? What can we add to it? This, that,
yeah,
and
we
third.
Get the gold edition.
Yeah, whatever. Nobody would have batted an eye. Everybody would have been like, all right, cool. Actually, most people would have been like, I can't wait to play this on PS5. But instead, you've given yourself a unrealistic end mark. And for a company like CD Projekt Red, why do they keep doing this? I'm confused.
I have one thing that I keep going back to, and maybe they just don't have enough to do it, but I don't know why in the world of early access, why they couldn't have just put it out in early access and then had the final thing like later.
Because early access is mostly for games that are like persistent online. Or
I still feel like they're gonna continue.
You know what? Early access is literally just another term for an alpha test. That is literally all it is.
Well, I mean, in the modern era, early access is just is the final version of a bunch of games that get put out. I mean, think of Fortnite.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
long were they in early access for before they actually released?
No, I feel you, but I think, again, I think for a game like Cyberpunk, I think you run the risk of being Fallout 76 and putting out literally a broken game. And they didn't want to do that. I get it, right? But if you are going to delay the game again, right, or if you're going to be struggling to quality test for all these different versions, you should not have made the promise internally to put it out for current and next gen. You shouldn't have done it.
And it becomes the problem of expectation, too, because the issue is this game is going to be huge, right? Yeah. It's going to be a big, massive time sink of a game. You've set that expectation with The Witcher, and then in your own words, describing this game and showing it off so far, it's going to be massive, and it's going to be a lot of time invested. And then you delay the game twice, and then you announce you're going into crunch time, and then you have the gall to delay it a third time. And here's the problem. At this point, people have started taking vacation time to play your game. We have someone on this staff
Robbie.
Who took 5 vacation days. Mm-hmm. In November to play this game.
He says he's currently crying on his couch currently.
He
well,
should be.
It's going to hit right on my vacation time now.
Well, it
now.
Works out for you.
So it works out for me. But I think the biggest thing here and what is frustrating, like they just put out an announcement that this is going on Stadia like 2 weeks ago. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
Here's the thing.
And Google
I think
forked over for it. I don't know.
I don't care.
They put a lot of emphasis on marketing too. And I don't know if it's not the same team, so I guess it's not necessarily too much work. But at the same time, I still feel like you put a lot of work on this marketing and pushing that this date's coming. One was what? A week ago? 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. The last like big was Night City thing that they did?
A week ago.
Come on now.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, you've really... I believe their reason for pushing it back.
Oh, let
me put it this way.
Wrong.
I don't think they're lying. I think they very much have run into the issue of we underestimated the amount of time we needed to get 9 versions of this game prepped and ready to launch. I believe that is a fact. And I believe if they were to try to release it on time at this point, it would probably release broken, at least for a couple of those platforms. So is it the right call? Yes. Am I still pissed at the way you've handled this to get us to this point?
Yes.
Yes. It's still, it doesn't make it okay.
But does that stop you from buying the game?
Well, I already bought it, so it's too
That's
late.
What I mean.
I mean, if you,
but if you didn't.
If you have your pre-order already, you're not going to cancel it. I mean, there might be one or two out there who are like, I'm going to cancel my pre-order.
Tell them
what I think.
Nobody is going to cancel their pre-order. People are still going to be excited for this game. I will tell you this, though. I think if anything else comes out about this game that is not... it's done. Here it is. Go play it. If any other news besides that comes out about this game, people are going to say CD Projekt Red, the new Square Enix. Don't trust them. Seriously.
They're going to say,
do not trust this company to put out a game on time. And regardless of how successful this game is, listen, Final Fantasy 15 sold gangbusters. It sold like almost 2 million copies. Guess what? It irreversibly changed how people view that company because for 8 years they delayed that game and nobody believed it ever was going to come out, and what they put out was not great.
Yeah, that's the problem. At the end of the day, what they put out wasn't a great game. Now if Cyberpunk comes out and it's great and it descends from the heavens as CD Projekt Red has promised it will, at the end of the day no one will care.
There's been one game that's done that, and that's the 7 remake. Worth the wait.
Now, here's the thing, though. Like, if it does descend from the heavens and it's great, no, at the end of the day, people will still be like, they're not exactly reliable on their time frame, but they put out a good product at the end of the day. It'll kind of be the same thing we think with Bethesda, right?
Yeah.
We think of Bethesda, it's going to be buggy and glitchy and a mess, but you're going to love it at the end of the day. It's going to be a great game. And that's kind of how we think of Bethesda.
Yeah, but they are not, at this point, they are making their own hurdle higher. With every delay, with every day that goes by that people don't have this game in their hands, the bar for this game being a generationally defining game becomes higher and higher and higher.
It gets hard to sell 3 delays if your game isn't great.
Especially after there's like Baldur's Gate claiming that they're the next gen of gaming, you know?
And here's the problem. Baldur's Gate, living up to that.
Yeah, it's doing great. Like Robbie showed me some stuff and I'm like, I gotta play this. I haven't committed. I want to, this close,
Yeah.
I haven't.
I'm where I've always been with Cyberpunk. I have a feeling that my make or break with this game is going to end up being its gender politics, which sucks because I hate that like is going to be a defining feature for me, but it is because of who I am. So like a game being delayed really doesn't like change a whole lot for me.
Right.
But even I'll look at it and just go like, man, guys, the thing that gets me is the crunch time.
Yeah.
That you announced you're going into crunch and you tried to sell it. That's what you had to do to get the game out on time. And then you delayed.
And that's the last point I want to make is that, listen, CD Projekt Red, if you knew that you are up against, you know, the wall on this, don't announce that you have to crunch. Yep. I understand you were trying to do the PR thing. Don't do
it. Get
out
ahead of it.
Because now you look like assholes.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What should they have done? Should they have done what they did, which is to say, we're going to crunch, and then they said, oh, there's one more thing that we have to do, which is a shipping issue, and we're going to delay 21 days to accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
Or
just delay it.
Delay it until January 1st and say we're doing that to avoid crunch.
Yeah.
Well, would they have avoided crunch?
Assuming they would.
Here's the thing. Assuming they would, fine. Internally, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know.
I can only assume in this hypothetical that they would make it out.
Think if they would have just said during that crunch thing, if they just delayed it till, you know, January 2021.
Or what they could have did was say, we're going to have to delay the next gen releases.
Or that.
Or the opposite.
You cannot delay current gen.
You can't delay current gen.
You know
what? I would have rather seen put it on PC. The consoles can wait.
No. You're not going to do that.
I know,
either.
But at the same time,
Chad,
I will never say the console's better.
The PC port's getting delayed.
If CD Projekt Red is a publicly traded company, you have just destroyed their valuation.
Hey, I don't think they are, to be fair.
No, I think they're actually supported by the Polish government. But anyway, Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, the head of the Xbox division at Microsoft, has put out a statement that has been confirmed here in PC Gamer that all first-party Xbox Series X games, he has confirmed that all first-party games for that console are also coming to PC, quote-unquote.
I have a lingo question for you.
Yes.
And as someone who works in this industry as long as I have, I should already know the answer to it, but I don't. Bethesda, are they considered first-party now that they're owned by Microsoft?
Yes.
Okay, so if you buy another developer and they still operate separately of you but work for you, they are first party.
In the same way that Ninja Theory and Double Fine are considered
our first party. Got it. Okay. Then what the hell did you buy Bethesda for? What the hell was that $1 billion price tag for?
I told you, as time goes on, that is just it's seeming like a $7 billion flex.
It's a $7 billion marketing
ploy. That's what it sounds like. Because if you're telling me that, first of all, it's coming to PC, which we kind of knew already
right. In
terms of Bethesda, because we knew they were not going to not let this come out on PC.
All Bethesda games go to PC anyway.
Anyway, so if that's what the thing is, now if you're talking about Gears, Halo, all that other stuff, Game Pass, we knew that already.
Well, to be fair, both of those, at least up to... maybe not the newest ones, obviously, that are coming out, but they also are on PC.
Well, and to be perfectly clear, this isn't a change of policy.
But, yes,
this is just them confirming that they already do
is
will
going
continue.
To continue. Right. I guess it's such a weird statement to say out loud. Because
he was asked the question.
It just seems weird. It's like, okay, something that you already do, are you going to continue?
Yeah, and he basically says in his comment, that's the expectation that we have set with our fans over the years,
right.
And we're going
to
continue.
It's not a crazy question to ask, because if you would have asked Sony two generations ago, are you guys going to continue backwards compatibility?
Okay, yep. That's different.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How?
The reasoning is because we already see what Xbox is doing. They're kind of like not necessarily phasing themselves out, but with the streaming stick and everything, they're already going that route. Mm-hmm. This is like a non-question. This is like a wasted question because we already see the whole iCloud, xCloud, and the Game Pass situation. Like,
I see what you're getting at. We've been theorizing on this show for ages now.
Not even just the show, like people in general. Like,
right.
They've been kind of just throwing out this Xbox. But I think, where do you think that's Chad, going?
But I think, Chad, you have to recognize that not everybody is tied in like us.
Not
and
even
that. Still, but there's still going to be people who see an Xbox game and they're going to say, dang, I got to buy an Xbox. But when you see a headline that says Phil Spencer confirms that all these games are coming to Xbox or coming to PC, you go, oh, whew, cool. I may not have to buy an Xbox.
I guess. I mean, it's just another furthering of the thought that I don't think they really care about the console play at this point.
No.
And I don't think they have to anymore.
No, they
Good.
Don't.
They with Game Pass and with xCloud, they have found the way around it.
So my point is, why are you an Xbox stan? Xbox stands. You're not.
You should call yourself a Microsoft stan.
You're
at this
a Microsoft
point.
Stan.
You're a PC player. You're welcome.
There you go.
Welcome to my world. Welcome. Join me.
I mean, yeah. To be fair, the Xbox has always run on PC architecture anyway, so like, you've already been a PC player technically.
That's where this question bugs me. It's just like, Microsoft is Microsoft. They own the like computers, Windows, everything.
They own
like,
computers.
You know what I mean. They make computers. I don't know why this is a question. Of course it's going to PC. They literally have the biggest operating software ever.
I hope, against all hope, that in like 2021, Microsoft adopts a new slogan, we own computers. Microsoft,
we own
computers.
Yes. Yeah. No, listen, you're absolutely right on that point. It is expected, I think, for those in the know, but I think for those not in the know, it's a good thing that they get that sort of reassurance. But lastly, we have to go to the polls
quickly.
It is Tuesday.
We are a week away from Election Day.
A week away from Super Tuesday.
Can I tell you? I don't feel good about this. Man, I'm going to be a wreck next Tuesday. I don't want to watch like election
off.
Night coverage. I don't want to watch any. I just want to sit like quietly in my room.
If you don't hear from us on next Wednesday,
I'm a political,
cuz we all fled the country.
I'm a political junkie, so I will be watching literally all day long.
I feel like I'm not going to leave the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm the weirdo who's just sitting back like, When the polls closed in Puerto Rico, what's the count? What's the count?
I'm normally like that. I was like that in 2016.
Yeah,
I was too.
But this time it's like, yeah, but if I lose this one, it could be really bad. I don't like this.
But with that said, Checkpoint every Tuesday goes to the polls. Next week we are going to be voting on president and vice president of the gaming world. We got some cool candidates. I'm going to save them. I'm going to put those in the back pocket because those candidates are absurd. But today, today, because I don't really feel very confident about the incumbent, we are going to vote on the Secretary of Education of Gaming.
All right. Now, to be clear, in America, You don't vote on your Secretary of Education. That's appointed. But yes, this is a better world where we get to vote on that.
That's right. And there you can have true plurality.
There we go.
Because you may have candidates from different parties in one cabinet. But let's get to the candidates. The first candidate for Secretary of Education is Toriel from Undertale.
Oh, Goat Mom.
Goat Mom, loving,
she's
caring.
Loving.
Always there to help out the youth.
She puts together her own education curriculum. She even says it in the game. She's prepared a curriculum for your character.
That is correct. However, she is prone to telling half-truths.
She is prone to telling half-truths, and there is a disturbing thing that might have led to her husband genociding some kids at some point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
difficult question.
We all have our history.
Yeah, very, very difficult question. Not sure how much that informs or helps her construct a national education system.
Half-truths are already better than the non-truths that we are getting currently from our
Chad,
current.
That's not the world we want to live in. All right?
Full truths.
Yeah. Next up, we have Moira from Overwatch, one of the most brilliant scientific minds in the world of video games.
Isn't she evil?
Kinda.
Okay.
Kinda.
I was like, she's with Blackwatch, isn't she?
I don't want to say necessarily, ends justify the means type of person.
Got it. Okay.
You know, literally one of the most brilliant minds in the Overwatch world.
For sure.
She does have legislative experience. She is the Minister of Science for the city of Oasis.
So that would effectively be their Secretary of Education.
Exactly. So she does have that experience. She animal tests. She animal tests.
Oh, see, I'm out. Mm,
she animal tests. So
okay, so we have a vegetarian on this staff,
yeah.
So Chad's going to vote no.
She animal tests.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'm not going to lie. That's rough.
That That's a
now,
little rough.
I appreciate someone who is dedicated to science in this day and age, especially. Yeah. Yeah. I'll bet you she believes in global warming.
Absolutely.
And probably has some good ideas for how to tackle it.
She absolutely does.
Okay, so there is pros and cons.
Very, very much so. I believe her stance on COVID-19 is wear a damn mask.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe like Secretary of Health would be a good place for her.
Yeah, that as well. Okay, and our last candidate for Secretary of Education is Professor Oak.
Ah, okay.
Number one.
Pokemon professor.
Number one is a professor.
He is.
Yeah.
Yep.
He is a professor in Pokemon studies, admittedly.
Admittedly.
He knows the education system.
He still educates.
Yep, he does.
He is a lovable guy.
Created the Pokedex. Can't ignore that.
That's true.
So well tied in with the tech world as well. However, he very much so endorses the fighting of Pokemon.
And he has been known to send like 8-year-old children or 10-year-old children off into the wilderness.
Yeah.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
For the Secretary of Education?
I see nothing wrong with sending kids into the wilderness.
All right.
Okay. Tim. Interesting.
Has no one lived near the woods? That's just average lifestyle.
I think Chad is a pro-Slenderman proponent.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Is he on the ballot?
For Secretary of Education? No.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely not. So you guys got to make a choice. Is it Toriel, Moira, or Professor Oak? Callie, we're going to get your vote first.
Okay. All right. Again, I want Moira in a different department. I just don't think she's good for education. I really am torn between Toriel and Professor Oak. I think Toriel cares for children and their well-being more than anyone on this list. I'm concerned about Professor Oak's tendency to give me a Charmander and then send me to the rock gym first. I don't know about how
it's
I feel about
rough.
That.
That's a little rough.
So I'm going to go with Toriel.
All right. We got one vote for Toriel. Chad.
I'm going Oak. Pro Oak.
Pro Oak. We have a tie.
Oh, my God.
We have a tie. It's tight. I hate to say this, guys.
Are you going Moira?
I got to vote for Moira.
We have we're going to have to send it to the people.
Do you know why I vote for Moira?
Why?
Animal testing is illegal in America.
Oh.
That's true.
Well, does that mean that she's not going to do that, though?
I can't guarantee that.
Right.
But.
And also, depending on who gets elected president, it may not remain illegal.
Exactly.
That's true.
But I will say this. I think Moira's stance on the emphasis of science and her expertise in terms of spreading and sharing that knowledge, Reaper is essentially immortal now. And I think if you put that emphasis on what she's able to do, our education system might be way better for it.
That's fair. Maybe she should be in charge of the FDA.
Yeah, maybe, but the whole animal testing thing again.
Again, it's problematic. I understand.
Yeah, I'd rather take her away from having the access to test animals.
All right, so we have to send this one to the people.
We have to send it to the people, guys. Who are you rocking with? Are you rocking with Toriel from Undertale, Moira from Overwatch, or Professor Oak from the Pokemon series? You let us know, and tomorrow we will read off the results for the next American Video Game Secretary of Education. But we are going to be right back because we are going to discuss a surprise announcement that's coming to Netflix. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. If you haven't already, make sure you slide over to another show that I host called Checkpoint on Campus, where we talk about the hottest news in collegiate esports. If you're not up on collegiate esports, I know a lot of you guys went to school for at least a little bit. And you have an alma mater or you have a favorite college that you support, find out if they also play esports. So make sure you guys go to BPod Studios, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts at, and look up Checkpoint XP on Campus. Now, Netflix hit me with this literally first thing in the morning. I awoken to this trailer. I don't even want to call it a trailer. It's a teaser. Where now Netflix has bought the options and they are now developing an Assassin's Creed live series coming. There's no time frame, no details. But I want us to theory craft here.
Okay.
Because the Assassin's Creed movie is butt cheeks.
It's awful.
It is butt. As much as I love Michael Fassbender,
yeah,
it's butt. It's not a good movie.
And you didn't even get to see his butt.
Bummer. That would have made a better movie.
I would have watched.
Have
it
you
more.
Seen that movie Shame?
I have.
If you're, yeah, if
oh,
you're,
the movie,
the movie.
I'm thinking Shameless. Sorry.
No, Shame.
No.
It's called Shame. Yeah, Michael Fassbender plays a sex addict.
I need to watch this movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm into that.
If you're a fan of the Fassbender butt,
the fast butt,
the fast butt, you'll have a good time. With that said, coming to Netflix is this Assassin's Creed series, and I want us to theory craft. Because to me, you guys know I love Assassin's Creed because of my love of history, because of my love of anthropology.
Yep.
But what the hell does an Assassin's Creed TV show look like?
I have two frames of thought.
Okay.
One, it's an anthology, kind of like American Horror Story. Yep, and each season's a new story, which would, I hope, my hope is that they kind of get away from the whole, like, all right, we're going into your brain and then going into,
well, they have to, Chad.
I feel like they have to. Maybe it's just, like, mentioned, but I don't want that to be, like, the plot line.
Yeah.
That's, I honestly feel like that was the weakness of the movie.
Okay.
And is a weakness of the game, in my opinion, too.
Okay.
But maybe they bring it up. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's just a small plot point just to move the story along.
Okay.
Fine. Or it's set into the modern day a little bit more, and it's literally just kind of like they have to do something throughout history, not just one character of assassin, but they have to go through several assassins
throughout history. So now it's Time Cop.
Now it's Time Cop, essentially, in a way, but it's more of like, have you seen, what's that, the show, Umbrella Academy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They deal with a lot of time situations where they have to keep the timeline.
Right.
I see it maybe a little bit like that.
So I don't want it to be that. I think for
I don't
me,
want it to be like that either.
For me, I think the series should be about the order, the actual Assassin's Order. And each season, like you say, takes place at a different period in time about an assassin of that timeline who worked for that order.
Mm-hmm.
And and maybe eventually something ties them all together, but mostly they should be separate stories, kind of like the games are, except without all the go back in time stuff, because I hate that crap.
Okay.
I just want it to be each season takes place in a different period of time, focusing on a different assassin of that age and their adventure, basically, and what they do. Or if you absolutely have to have the whole traveling
Ubisoft may mandate that.
You have to have the traveling back in time bit. Then I want it to be a villain of the week story where you go to different time periods every episode and hunt someone down. I want it to be like the adult version of Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego.
All right, okay.
I want it to be that if we have to have the time travel.
If you did that, that would be fire. However, I do see that now becomes the most expensive TV show ever
made. You know why that's okay?
Why?
Because it's Netflix and it's only going to get one season anyway.
That's facts.
Well, I mean, The Witcher did very well and there's season two's coming.
The Witcher ran off a shoestring budget.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like they got some good names. They got some pretty good set design.
But Netflix, like for all the series that they give another season to, they can like 8 more of them.
And here's another thing. Like we're talking about like, oh, there's a lot of money for this. Half of Assassin's Creed is literally just like in just random cities, not even cities, but random like towns that you could just, that are already probably built somewhere. Let's be honest. From all Netflix films, they could just be like, yeah, just reuse that. Just get it from a different angle.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'm just
saying, is the last thing. Dude, that is the worst when I recognize a set from something else.
I don't mind it. Like, I saw it.
No, you know who did it real bad? All of those 1990s sort of Sentai action. Where they just reuse the footage from Japanese shows.
Bad. Reusing footage is bad.
No, not just the footage, but like you could tell that like Beetleborgs, Power Rangers, VR Troopers, Kamen Rider, all of them all use the same sets.
Well, they
the
were
same
all filmed
everything.
like on like literally three different studio blocks.
Three
like
different sound stages.
Literally right next to each other.
Yeah. So I don't want that. Netflix,
I don't mind it.
Do not do that. I don't want Netflix to just go use the Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta and I could tell.
Here's one that did it really well, and it was actually, I mean, maybe it's because they're completely different genres, and I'm going to bring up Umbrella Academy again, but there was a scene in Umbrella Academy where me and Kiefer were watching it, and I was like, why does that hotel or that motel looks so familiar.
Is the one from Alta Carbon?
It might be. I haven't seen Alta Carbon another way. But I was like, why does it look so familiar? And I was thinking about it. It's the one from Schitt's Creek. It's the Rosebud Motel from Schitt's Creek, just from a different angle. Because in Schitt's Creek, it's always head on,
right?
And from Umbrella Academy is a little bit more like filmic and kind of scenic, cinematic. Mm-hmm. And so they had it like at a different angle, and I was like, it looked familiar, but I can't place it. And we were like, that's Schitt's Creek. Holy crap!
See,
really cool. I like that. I was like, that's kind of clever. It was kind of fun to see.
I don't want that.
Another movie or another show use it.
I don't want that. I think, Chad, your first original idea is probably the best.
Callie,
to your idea, I think each season you do a new time period.
Yep.
Because I think part of what makes Assassin's Creed so engaging is the concept of seeing what a particular historical figure might have actually been like.
Yeah.
On a like almost interpersonal basis. So like Assassin's Creed 2 was dope. Because you would meet like Leonardo da Vinci, and he's like a freaking weirdo.
Yeah,
and
he was
freaking
weirdo.
You
meet
Machiavelli, and he's just like this stoic guy. He's just like, you need to do what you need to do. It's like that's how I assume he would be in real life. And so I would hope that they would take the opportunity because I compare this to a series like Westworld.
Yeah,
where Westworld got like too heady for its own good.
See, that's what I'm worried about. Like, I really want the anthology because there's one worry that I have with these types of shows, and that is the idea, and they even do these with movies, where it's like we have to one up the previous one. And I think me and Callie had a long conversation about Legend of Korra, and the one issue I had with it is it always felt like it had to one up the previous season, even though season two you probably could have ended it and I would have been happy with it because that was the true great evil, and then it seemed so weak afterwards.
Right, the evil of season two should have been the conclusion.
The
big
story. Should have been the conclusion. Yeah. So that's the my worry. But
that
the
said,
nice thing,
everyone hates season two. So
yeah, well, either way, but. Well, the thing about the anthology is that you don't have to worry about necessarily one-upping. Like, there's nothing, you can take new characters, put them in a new situation that is just as dire as the previous one without having to, like, grossly make the
You do need to draw the common thread of the assassins and the Templars.
Right. Like,
exactly.
you have your base.
That is the thread in which connects every season.
Right.
Exactly. And I think it can get really interesting because you can see what that order looks like in each of these different time periods. You know, at one point, maybe they are incredibly dedicated to this cause. And then in another time period, maybe the assassin is one of the last of that order at the time, or it needs to be restored.
Yeah. Or, you know, like, there's, like, the civil like war.
The civil war within
them.
The order. Yeah, like, you can tell the story. It always focuses on the Templars, but it's
Different characters
in different time periods. And, you could see what this group looks like 1,000 years apart.
Yeah, no, I think it would be
fascinating.
I think it would be really great. And you could begin to even weave some light ancestral stuff. Because I think between 3 and Black Flag, you had some really cool stuff where you had a Knights Templar who came to America, had a kid with it. Had a kid with a native lady, and that kid became an assassin.
Yeah. Right.
So his dad is a Templar, and he becomes an assassin. So you got that whole familial thing going on. But what I really, really think and what I really hope that they do is they look at every historical piece that Netflix has been able to do recently. You look at The Last Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Maybe you look at what Amazon did or the History Channel did with Vikings.
You look at The Crown.
Yeah, The Crown. You look at all these sort of historical pieces that they've been able to do, and you take the best of them.
Yeah.
Because when you think about something like The Crown, what makes The Crown so good is not only its look into historical events, but also the set design and the costume design. Like, for this to work, they're going to have to, like, bring in the best of Netflix and make it
100%.
Work. Yeah. Because if not, it runs the risk of being, like, since 8.
So we've talked another show that was actually good that got canceled way too soon. But we've talked about what we want it to be.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what it's actually going to be. It's going to be about Ezio, and it's going to follow Assassin's Creed. Was that 2, I believe
it
was?
It is not. It better
sure,
not. Sure. It better not.
All right.
No, because, okay, even if that's where you start.
Yeah.
Even if that's where you start, and you could say we could go either way. We could go back or forwards, right? Because you could say, how did we get to Ezio, or where did we go after him, right?
Sure.
Because I agree. It sometimes is smart to start with a point of reference, right?
Right. Ezio made the series famous.
Yes. So I think that's cool. You can't do it better than the video game. You can't. That's the problem. You can't. There's two characters you cannot do better than the video game. You can't do Ezio better than the video game. You can't do Cassandra better than the video game. You can't. Don't try, because it will suck. Ubisoft, listen to me. I'm going to look back into the camera again. I know it's not on, but I need a focus point.
An audio show.
I need a focus point. Ubisoft, please, for the love of God, do not use Ezio for this series. I implore you. I beg of you. Do not use Ezio for this series.
Now, here's why that might happen. Let's take The Witcher.
Yep.
At the end of the day, The Witcher is the story of Geralt.
Yes.
They have to have him.
Yes.
Like, the world is interesting, and you could do some cool stuff in it, but the story of The Witcher is Geralt's story.
Yeah.
The story of Assassin's Creed is not any one assassin.
No.
No.
It could be any assassin from any period in time who happens to be one of the Knights Templar.
Yes.
So, to that end, you may get your wish. I just feel like they're gonna go for the cash grab, and we're gonna get the big, like, so and so is cast as Ezio
for
the headlines.
Here's the way you could make the argument and make it work is that if you did do Ezio, most of the stuff that was in the Renaissance when Ezio was alive is still there.
I was gonna say this,
or
it kind of follows that whole idea of The Witcher, where it's, you know, it is following Geralt a little bit, but it's not necessarily just his story.
Right.
Yeah.
They could do that, and I would be intrigued by that, because that's something that I feel like it would be kind of nice to see in Assassin's
Creed. So maybe you do
Creed,
a story of a master assassin, and maybe an assassin that just got initiated.
Yeah, like maybe it's following the young assassin, mm-hmm. Who's, you know, just starting to learn how everything is, and Ezio's there. He exists in that
He's
time
a character,
period.
Yeah.
See, I would prefer that. If you did a story, right, it would be a little hard to do with Ezio, because Ezio essentially revived the Order himself.
Right.
But if you did a...
Or it could be like maybe 10 years later.
Yeah, if you did a story of him during Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, where everything was happening in Rome, and you had a really crazy pope and stuff like that, and like Cesare Borgia and stuff, you could do it where you have an assassin who is viewing these events from the outside, right? Where Ezio is the master assassin.
Like, you're hearing these through, like, quote-unquote headlines.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. I think that could also be a very interesting way
to
think about it.
I don't want it to just be that time period. I really, truly believe for this to be, like, a really good show, unless they blow me away in some way, which I don't think they will, it has to be an anthology.
I agree. I think history is way too interesting, and there's too many time periods that they haven't touched on.
Right, and even still, like, they're not following one character in the games. It would be weird if they did.
Yeah.
Like, at least with The Witcher, it still follows
Geralt.
Every
game.
You know what I mean?
Every
game is about
Geralt.
It's about him.
I mean, Ezio got 3 games.
That's fair.
Ezio has the same amount of Assassin's Creed games as Geralt has Witcher games.
What's
the worst case scenario?
That
they rehash Assassin's Creed 1.
Ooh, yeah.
I think the worst case scenario for me
is the movie.
They try to set it modern day.
Oh.
Absolutely the worst.
That's why
I would hate that.
If they set it modern day, it's the worst, because no one plays Assassin's Creed for the modern day setting.
Correct. Like, so, you play it for, like, historical interest. Yeah.
That's the part of the game and the movie that I think is always the weakest part. And I know what they're trying to do, and it's every single time I see the glitches happen, I'm like, oh, fuck, we're going back.
It's always dumb.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, time to go back.
Well, it's because they... It's because they still, to this day, haven't paid it off.
True.
They haven't paid it
We're
off.
What, 9 games in?
You are a decade into this series, and you have not paid off. Why am I in the modern day?
Right. And it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't, like, I think the only reason the game took off is because, well, the storyline within the historical setting ends up being pretty good in some of
the
games.
Well, Assassin's Creed 1, the idea that history has been dictated by something other than what we think it is,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is interesting. And I think the level of detail they went into creating these worlds was very cool. Like, in Assassin's Creed 1, they had 3 different color palettes for the 3 different cities that off the rip made it feel like 3 different places. When you were in Damascus, it was orange. When you were in Acre, it was like slate.
Yeah.
And when you were in Jerusalem, it was green. So it felt like not only am I in three different cities by name, they feel different. They look different. They have different people. They have this. They have that. So they did a really great job. But then as each game went on after two, it was like, why am I still doing this?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed turns 13 on November 13th.
Crazy. Crazy!
Yep.
So I think they have an opportunity to make one of the best Netflix series they've ever made.
And they also have the opportunity to make one of the worst.
One of the worst. So I hope that they put the love and care into it. I don't know how they're going to do it without shooting on location. Yeah. So this is definitely something I say don't expect till like 2023.
All yeah. I got to say is just send this podcast to the developers.
Yes.
And like send let them to listen Ubisoft. To what we had to say.
Yep.
Send it to Ubisoft. Send it to Netflix. Tag them both. Because I honestly believe our version will be tenfold better than whatever they're trying
correct.
To try.
Yeah.
Correct. And the last question I want to ask very quickly, if you set season one in a time period, where do you set it? This is deep.
I honestly don't disagree with the whole Ezio time period. I mean, if we do it the way we said, the Italian Renaissance. Where the game started, you know, ish. I don't think that's bad.
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice to go to a different place, but I wouldn't be mad.
Okay, Callie.
I think I'd like to see, like, French Revolution.
Oh, they did Unity.
Yeah.
Unity sucked, but that was because of programming reasons.
But the time period's fascinating.
Fascinating.
And also, you know what would be strangely interesting? I want to do World War One and find out that
yep.
the nice Templar assassinated Archduke Ferdinand.
Oh, yes. That would have been one
first
hell
of all, list. First of all, absolutely the Templars assassinated Franz Ferdinand. If I had to pick a time period in which Assassin's Creed took place, and this is a deep cut, would be there is a king from West Africa. His name is Mansa Musa. He is the richest man to ever live in the history of Everdom before
Damn.
Jeff Bezos. he took a pilgrimage to Mecca, and it was a very interesting time, both in West Africa, North Africa, and the Middle East. He had so much money that he literally gave away gold and devalued gold by himself. Can you imagine that?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I think if you set it around that time, or maybe around the time like the Islamic empires are expanding, or you could do the Moorish conquest of Spain, because people forget that Moorish Africans and Arab folks ruled Spain for like 300 years.
Yep.
And that's how you got the Inquisition. That's how you started the Inquisition, because they were like, they can't have it anymore.
The English invasion of Scotland would be interesting too.
Ooh,
I feel like you could do a lot. Like, I feel yeah. like even though, I mean, escape from the Templars a little bit, but you could do like any real big historical.
You could do
moment.
The Russian Revolution.
You could even do like oh, yeah. kind of like some, you know, Mayan Aztec kind of things mm-hmm. like that. You could really focus on that.
Ooh.
That'd be really cool. I feel
Ooh.
Like the ruins and
Ooh,
stuff.
The,
like old
the conquistadors
yeah.
landing.
Like,
yeah. in Central America.
I mean, that would be really cool. Ooh.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of options. That
that'd be
they can
so
go
good.
There.
Don't
but, yeah.
screw it up, Ubisoft.
You got, listen, yeah. we just, Hype. We gave you like five seasons right
yeah.
there. But anyway,
at least
that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. Make sure you guys are back tomorrow for the results of Checkpoint Goes to the Polls. We need you to break this stalemate, guys. You got to break this stalemate. And with that said, also, we're going to be talking about some really cool stuff. Cloud9 has made some interesting news.
Another one of those.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow as well. So, for Callie Scales and Chad Callahan, I am Norris Howard. Goodbye! Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint XP on campus. And if you're wondering, esports in college, that's a thing? Yes, it is. So, if you're curious about can your kid or maybe you get an esports scholarship to a university, yes, it's possible. Find out how on Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.